Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Wednesday, October 13th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
Yes, Prince Mishkin. What can we do for you?
Well, actually, I have something to do for you. We're back with the amazing and totally radical Madison Young, and she's here to dish out about all the sex wisdom we could possibly handle. And I mean that literally, because Madison is like a freaking force of nature, don't you know? But you probably know that already, huh? And when I say that we're back, I mean this is part two of her appearance on this show, and I am so honored to have more time with her today. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our conversation that appeared here last week at this time, did you? Well, don't worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the site's search function. In the header, type in podcast 236, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search.
I assume you're making those cartoon noises to attract my attention.
I guess you could say that my voice and these words are cartoon noises. And yes, I am trying to attract your attention because I want to direct you to visit Madison on her membership website, madisonbound.com. And she also invites you to check out her art gallery site, feminapotens.org.
That's it, baby, when you got it, flaunt it, flaunt it!
That's so true. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight, thus the very clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there's a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It is phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes the Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Look for their banner in the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You will be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Madison Young, welcome back. Thank you again for joining us this week. I can't hardly tell you how much fun I had last week, and how I touched myself impurely by visiting your site. It's wrong, I tell you, it's wrong.
Well, thank you so much for having me back.
Oh, good, good, good. So, I don't want to lose a second on small talk. I want to pick up exactly where we left off last week, and we were talking about your career in porn mostly last week, but I also know that you produce educational videos too, right?
Well, I do some educational films for my website, madisonbound.com.
Okay.
I haven't produced any DVDs that are educational yet, but I have performed in a lot of educational films, including Midori's Sensual Guide to Bondage, which is out on Vivid Ed, and also Tristan Taramino's G-Spot educational film, which should be released sometime in the next couple of months. So keep an eye on Vivid Ed for that.
Okay.
And actually the first DVD that I ever did was an educational film called G Marks the Spot, and that was released through Good Vibrations.
Uh-huh.
You can still get that at goodvibes.com, and it was called G Marks the Spot. So if you want some like 8 year ago, Madison Young, seeing me at the very beginning of my trajectory. You can check that out. I was actually in that with one of my real life girlfriend at the time, and that was a G-spot and female ejaculation film.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
So without belaboring this, because we talked about it a lot last week, I want to ask you what you think the state of porn is these days. For the most part, I'm really disappointed. So much of it is unimaginative, cookie cutter, and mind-numbing dreck. And it seems to me that when we ought never confuse popular and successful with what is good and what is quality, because that's wrong. And I believe that when a consumer is offered a satisfying alternative to mass-produced content, the alternative that is robust and spicy and healthy and fairly priced, as well as distinctive and unique, most customers would choose that over the stuff that gluts the marketplace. Most porn consumers are not fools, and I suspect that you agree with that.
I absolutely do. I refer to a lot of the porn that comes out of the Valley as being fast food porn, and I think that's a great way to think about it. Is, you know, where do we want to dine? Do we really expect to be getting our nourishment and our sexual satisfaction from, you know, a Whopper and some fries? Or do we want to go to, you know, somewhere local and be shopping and getting a healthier meal,
right,
where we see where it's being made, where we know where the meat is coming from, where we have more
and
control,
and
we know what the
performers are happy
are.
And healthy,
exactly,
and integrated into the project.
As a consumer, I feel like it's really our responsibility,
yes,
to know what the ethics are, yes, and what the mission statement or vision statement of the company is,
yes,
what the ethics are,
yeah,
in their workplace.
Right.
Just as it is when we're shopping for clothing and knowing that they're not coming from a sweatshop, or knowing that our food isn't coming from a factory farm. It's
right,
the same way when it comes
it's
to
so
porn.
True. It's so true. And if people had more of a sensibility about that, I think that there would be more good stuff and less of the dreck.
Absolutely. And I think that people are really speaking out finally. And a lot of the people that were just sick of what was out there started picking up a camera. And that's why,
right,
we have nice insurgence of great sex positive porn just in the last couple of years.
Right.
Really, I feel like there's been this great wave of people who are creating more artistic, sex positive, beautiful erotic films,
right,
and that even erotic film festivals have become quite the popular thing all over Europe and America.
Right.
So that's been a really positive movement. Also, something that I briefly touched on the last episode was that media is changing just so very much. We do have the web and DVDs and the way that people decide that they want to consume. A lot of this fast food porn is available for free,
right,
on the,
right,
web. And so I feel like there's this whole new group of people who are consuming porn, people who didn't want to consume porn,
right,
before. There's now a couples market. Women are now a valid demographic.
Absolutely.
And the queer community is definitely consuming porn too.
Right.
So these are new groups of people that,
right,
are really like picking up a lot of porn. And a lot of the women in the lesbian community and queer community used to be more like we'd buy gay male porn because we felt like that was actually the most raw, aggressive, what we thought was more honest than a lot of the boy-girl or girl-girl stuff that we saw coming out of L.A.
Right. So let's move on to the other passion in your life, and that's your gallery. Femina Potens.
Yes.
You gotta love a girl who knows her Latin. Anyhow, the mission statement reads, in part, Femina Potens, which means powerful woman in Latin, has been a community-building, multidisciplinary arts space at Sanchez and Market Streets in San Francisco since 2003. Femina Potens has organized almost 450 performing, visual, literary, media arts, educational, and public arts programs that have authentically explored the experiences of queer women, transgender people, and others living outside the female-male gender binary. So this whole binary thing about male and female, and you know that those are the two things, and you either are one or the other, and then along with those one or the other comes a lot of sex role stereotyping, and you know what you can do and what you cannot do, and who you can do it with, and all of this kind of stuff. It's awfully structured, is it not?
Yes, but I really feel like gender is very fluid.
Yes.
And I feel like there's a lot of exploration that some people are just discovering where they fit. Like, you know, sometimes they are identifying in a more masculine way and sometimes in a more feminine way. And I think that's, you know,
so if the boundaries are broken down between the binary system, between male and female,
I think it's more spherical. Like,
yes,
I think people
I think so
of
too.
It as more of like a straight line, but I think it's like really very three-dimensional, and that for some reason we have, you know, like kind of this line of like male on one side, female on the other, and I feel like it's much more multidimensional, and that you can be like anywhere in the middle of this huge globe of gender, and I think
the
that gives us a
true,
lot
though,
more movement.
The same is true about sexuality.
Absolutely.
Though, too. So we're doing like, dealing with like two globes. One is a globe of gender and identity and what all that means for a particular person at a particular
time. And
then
people that you want to fuck within
them.
Right. And how you want to fuck
exactly,
them.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you know, I hear from people all the time like, you know, I would really like to investigate that, but you know, I'm afraid to, or what would it say to me, or, you know, how would my girlfriend or my wife or my husband or my boyfriend react if I said to him that I wanted to
do
X,
Y, and Z? Then we go back to that shame
Z.
again, this shame that we have, that we feel like we have to fit into this specific box and not be able to, like, really be ourselves and have that kind of dialogue and free expression.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important to have those kind of spaces and to create that kind of space where people can have that kind of dialogue.
You know, we talked about this last week a little bit about, you know, the notion of queer, and I thought about it some, actually I thought about it a lot in the week in between, and I came up with the idea that I'm really grateful that we have that. And you know, that was a word that, you know, at when I was first growing up, I knew it was a hurtful kind of word, and then as you talked about last week, you know, it's really matured into something where a lot of gay men initially began to embrace that word and, you know, take the poison out of it and the hurtfulness out of it. And I did, you know, I identify myself as queer, and but meaning, you know, gay queer.
Right.
But and I'm discovering that a lot of people, you know, even ostensibly straight people, heterosexual people, are also identifying as queer because it's a way to escape, you know, what, you know, the expectations of, you know, male-female bonding and sexuality is all
about. I think
about.
People come up with a lot of different names and a lot of different, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, there are people who primarily, if they're a cisgendered guy and they primarily have sex with a woman, but occasionally, like at play parties, they like to have sex, you know, sometimes with men, or they like to have sex in this way with a man, or like, you know, I don't think that it's good for us to put people so much in boxes of being like, you're only gay, or you're only a lesbian, or you're only queer if you fit into these very specific boxes, and you never like leave those boxes. That's just like, you know, I feel like when we are claiming our sexual selves, especially when we identify outside of the heteronormative, that we try so hard and fight so hard to have a liberty to express ourselves honestly sexually, and then it's like we're fighting just to get into another box, you know?
That's so true.
So I think it's really important for us to have that. I mean, I know some people who do identify more heterosexual that identify as like heteroflexible or even homoflexible, or which I You know what I mean? It's like whatever you're comfortable with, yeah. like whatever feels best to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. as I was saying, I feel like queer is very much a community thing
yeah.
for me
yeah.
as well.
I agree.
Not just who I'm fucking, but
right.
is also part of the community
yeah.
that I
yeah.
am a part of.
Cool beans. I agree. You go on to say on your Femina Potens site, at Femina Potens, our paramount vision is empowerment. Empowerment for the artist, the viewer, and the community by creating a safe space where gender and sex is naturally fluid and changing. We are dismantling the rigid barriers between audiences and artists and forming an allied community based upon understanding through our art. That's so wonderful.
Thank you.
It's absolutely amazing. And I understand that you just opened recently a new installation on September 27th, the subject being breast cancer and how it's affected the community. Could you fill us in a little bit on that?
Yes, that's for our October show called Busted. And it's our second time doing this show. It's a breast cancer awareness show about breast health. And I feel like it's a really important issue that it's great to get awareness out there about. It's a group show, so we have, I believe, 6 different artists from around the country
wow.
who have created different artworks, including paintings, photographs, video. We even have some people that will be doing performances and readings there as well. And before I left for my travels, I installed there at the gallery a new piece that I created, an installation piece. And it is... it's taking a lot of stories from women I know who have battled with breast cancer, and it's a tree, and it's planted in soil, and there are stories, like scrolls of stories coming out of the ground, as well as these art bras that were made that are representative of the different women
wow.
and tell their stories that are... hanging from the tree like fruit. There are pieces of fruit that are used in the piece as well. So it's using a lot of text and a lot of objects, and it's a more sculptural piece. And I'm really excited to have that there.
Mm.
And there's also some photos from my erotic self-breast exam piece that I've done, and those are framed and at the gallery
yeah.
as well, along with all of these other amazing artists.
Well,
so if you're in the San Francisco area, it's definitely something to check out throughout the month of October. It'll be up.
Cool beans. What's the address? It's in the Castro, yes?
It's in the Castro. The address is 2199 Market, and
mm-hmm.
the cross street is Sanchez.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Good
right
good.
In the heart of the Castro.
Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that you are a sought-after teacher, presenter, and keynote speaker. Can you tell us a little bit about what's upcoming on your calendar?
Absolutely. So I taught at Folsom Fringe recently.
What is that? That's associated with
Folsom Fringe is associated with the Folsom Street Fair, and it happens
cool.
right outside of San Francisco. And taught my deep throating class there. It's a really it's a great BDSM convention that they do. I know everyone wants the deep throating. I mean, they can't get enough of the deep throating. Yeah, it's my most popular workshop. I did a little something over at the Venus stage at Folsom Street Fair,
uh-huh.
and that was really great. They're wonderful to work with.
That's an international, beloved international sensation festival of BDSM.
Absolutely, people come from all over the world,
That's
all
so
over
true.
The world to come
to
the
go.
Folsom Street Fair. It's great. I mean, there's just nothing
so
like
nutty.
It. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, there's just like there are more balls and penises than you'll ever see in your
That's
life
true.
At
tits hanging out everywhere.
Tits hanging out everywhere. people getting tied up on the street, guys like ejaculating out of windows onto the people below them. It's a madhouse.
San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing because it's like it really shows the power of the people, nice. Like, you know, coming together, and the cops are just like, all right, here come the thousands of people, better make way, you know.
That's so true.
So there's Folsom Street Fair, and then traveling through Sydney. It's my first time in Sydney, Australia, teaching there.
More deep throating in Sydney?
I think they do have that one, but there's like, I'm teaching like 4 or 5 different workshops for them. Mm. It's at a convention called The Gathering, mm-hmm. and Laura Antonou actually is going to be teaching there as well. She was the writer of the Marketplace series.
Right.
And yeah, so teaching there, and then I'm the keynote speaker at the Femme Conference in Sydney, and that's October 8th through 10th. And then I'm going from there to Amsterdam for some shoots, and then I'm going to be at the Berlin Porn Film Festival, where I'm going to be the focus filmmaker, and they're showing 2 of my films that I've directed, The Thin Line Between Art and Sex and The Curse of Macbeth. And then they're going to be screening a couple of films also that I didn't direct, but that I'm in, Rough Sex 2, directed by Tristan Taramino, and Ian MacKay's Content. And then I'm doing panels in regards to both my directing and to my porn stardom.
I'm exhausted just listening.
Then I come back to San Francisco November 1st. So
it's a good thing you're a young woman.
Then I take a deep breath.
Good for you. Good for you. With the time that we have left, I'd like to talk a little bit about your life in kink, besides the stuff that is examined in your movies and online, and I assume that there is more to you than what meets the eye, right?
I put a lot of it out there. Yeah. I mean, you as an audience get about 90% of me, and pretty much most of the rest of it is all the preparation that goes behind making all of it happened. Right. It's a lot of work. It's definitely, you know, I think that it comes across as very glamorous, and I'm so blessed to have this life to be able to do something that I love and believe in so much. But it's definitely a lot of work to keep it all going. Right. I have a couple nice things happening in my life off camera, though.
She says, coyly. So I remember reading on your site, and I think I mentioned it last week, and you said something like that you enjoy, regardless, being on top or on the bottom.
Oh, yes.
And is that synonymous with being dominant and submissive?
Not for me, no.
Okay, good,
I mean,
good. Thank you.
This is just more talking about, well, I think the passage you're referring to is me being aggressive with my sexuality,
right, exactly.
Regardless if I'm on top or on bottom. And I think that, you know, I'm always so hungry for life and for consumption, you know, like not a material consumption,
right.
But like I'm very sexually ravenous.
Yeah.
And whether I'm pleasing someone from on top or taking it, so if I'm, say, giving someone analingus or fucking their ass or deep throating their cock or pleasing their feet or serving them in some way, or if I'm on bottom and being fisted or being fucked or being tied up and fucked and orgasmed, you know, like it's never a passive thing for me. It's never something where I'm just there and just having it done to me. I'm a very active and aggressive participant in my sexuality.
So you don't necessarily identify yourself then and this is curious to me because I don't know the answer to these questions. You don't necessarily identify yourself as a submissive or a dominant?
I do identify as a submissive.
Okay, good.
And
right.
I identify as a masochist. I think I have a very long list of titles on there. I identify as a spaniel.
This is puppy play.
So I'm a masochistic rope slut spaniel. Submissive. Those
Not
are a couple of the things that I am. I don't really identify as a dominant. I mean, based on who I'm having sex with, like if there's someone and I feel like I need to take charge or that they're less aggressive around their sexuality, then I most certainly will take charge.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel that energy of just
right.
They're not going to take a lead, so I most definitely will.
So you would be an aggressive bottom.
It's more like they, even if I'm on top of them, say if it's a woman and I'm on top of them and they're more submissive and they're not being very aggressive in their sexuality, then I will definitely pounce on them and like right. have them more as my sex toy. And I might like grab their hair or kind
right.
of play
right.
with their
right.
mouth. But
right.
I kind of envision it more as like I'm a cat playing with my mouse before I devour it
right.
kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Less as kind of a, you know, mistress submissive
right.
kind
right.
of situation.
Right. Interesting. Do you find other people, making those kinds of distinctions, because a lot of the folks, the kinky folks and the power play people that I've talked to in this series and that I know personally, they don't make such fine distinctions. It's, you know, dominant or submissive, and sometimes they're both and sometimes they switch and blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
But you seem to have fine-tuned that.
I think it depends.
Within the inch of its life.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I explore my sexuality so much, and I've made that such a huge part of my life that I've had a lot of, and I write so much that I have a lot of, I spend my time doing interviews like this
mm-hmm.
and writing about my sexuality
mm-hmm.
And going through these experiences and really figuring out exactly who I am and how I
right.
identify and allowing room for movement as well. But, you know, just feeling like if that title fits me, and I don't feel like dominant really fits my title, although, you know, sometimes I feel like more of an aggressive energy, like aggressive is something that I feel like I identify
mm-hmm.
more than like dominant energy necessarily.
If we are trapped in a role, gay or straight,
right.
dom or sub or whatever, you know, and
then we're not going to open
then
it
we're
ourselves
not gonna,
up.
And that's the beautiful thing that I've just noticed in discussing this with you is
mm-hmm.
that you leave the doors open.
Yeah.
You know, you're not tying yourself down and you're not saying, well, I'll only be this only and always and, you know, but I will, you know, fill a void if need be, and I'll express myself honestly, regardless of, you know, what's going on in the situation.
Absolutely.
I think that's phenomenal.
Thank you.
Is there stuff about the dom-sub relationship or power play that can teach the broader population something about, you know, relationships, even vanilla folk?
Absolutely. I
good.
Mean, I
good,
feel
good,
like
good.
I feel like one of the biggest things is communication.
Right.
I mean,
oh my God,
you
yes.
know, I mean, within BDSM, sometimes there's weeks or a month of negotiation that happens. Like someone has to earn actually getting to play with someone.
Exactly.
You know, like the courtship often becomes like. A lot of the negotiation is really part of the courtship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like a lot of vanilla couples, it takes a lot longer to be able to talk to a partner. I've seen in vanilla relationships that it takes longer for those sexual discussions to happen
mm-hmm.
often.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not as comfortable talking about
right.
sex. Sometimes it can take a year. Sometimes it can take longer. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
people are in, like, you know, they've been having sex and they haven't been happy in their sexual relationship with someone that they really love for years,
yeah,
and they didn't know how to talk about it.
Right.
And
so they've suffered through it.
Exactly, you know, and in BDSM, it's so important. It's like, before you play with someone, you ask them about their health. You ask them about their emotional state. You ask them if they have any knee problems or if they've had any surgeries that year or if there's anything at all that, you know, is totally a red for them. What do they like? What don't they like? Like, can you imagine if vanilla what their limits are? I mean, can you imagine if, like, a vanilla couple had that simple conversation? And even in sex work as well, you know, often that conversation will happen.
Exactly.
And within the porn industry. And I think that that's really missing from a lot of vanilla relationships.
Right. In the little time that we have left, I want to ask you, who are your sexual heroes?
I would definitely put at the top of my list some of my family. My family is Annie Sprinkle and Beth Stevens are, like, they're my mothers. They call themselves my mom. I'm having dinner with them on Tuesday.
Cool. I've been after Annie to join me for
yeah.
a podcast, so you'll have to get mom to cough it up.
I will. I'll let her know that I saw Dr. Dick.
And he's not such a bad guy after.
And Carol Queen and Robert and her partner Robert Lawrence
yes.
are two wonderful sexologists and very, very good friends,
yes.
you know, family of mine. And
that's the joy of living in San Francisco, because those
yeah,
folks are all there. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I also love Tristan Taramino
yeah.
is really great. Dossie Easton is great. Who else? I mean, those are, like, kind of some
yeah.
of my top people. Oh, and Nina Hartley. Nina and Ernest have been such a great support for me when I'm in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Because L.A.
It's like a foreign land.
It's like a foreign land, and it can be very isolating there, going and infiltrating.
Mm-hmm.
And
impersonal.
Yes, impersonal. And, I mean, both of them, but especially Nina, like, it was just, like, such a resource to me while I was, you know, when I'm in L.A., as far as, like, really talking to me, and when I felt just, like, how can I do this? How, you know, it's like taking all of my energy to, like, work with these people. And, like, I feel like I'm fighting a war. And she's like, you are. But the great thing is that we can cross back and forth.
Right.
Like, we can cross back and forth from the educational world to the mainstream world to the queer world. And, you know, we can take what we're learning and bring it into the mainstream. And we can work in the mainstream and take that money and use it for educational
right.
purposes.
Right.
And, you know, it's like
part of being
the pretty educator, you know. It's like, show your tits and you can teach them about their G-spot. Come on, you know.
It's
like,
so true.
So, you know, she's been a really great.
Yeah. I've been after her too.
So, you know.
They're all so busy.
But we're all busy.
That's
you,
true.
You know, thanks
That's
to
true.
You should thank that devious monk for wrangling
sure.
me for you.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Absolutely. Well, our time is up, and
okay.
Before we conclude again, would you give us your website addresses and walk us around a bit?
Absolutely. MadisonBound.com is where you can find all of my Kinky Girl Next Door stuff, and lots of educational films, some of my erotic films, photo galleries, updates 5 times a week, as well as feminapotens.org, where you can find some really lovely erotic artwork and find out all about my art gallery in San Francisco.
Thank you. Thank you, Madison, so much for being so generous with your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience.
Thank you so much for having me.
And until we chat again, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Sounds good.
Thanks, honey. Bye.
Bye.
What a wonderful show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is the fabulous Fleshlight and Flesh Jack.
May I speak to you for a minute?
Do you suppose it could wait until after the show? So, guys, have you been looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I've just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never again settle for second best. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, I have a tip for you. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and last for as long as you like takes practice. Now, sure, you can learn to last longer simply by using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner.
You're making me extremely nervous.
You just settle down there, boy. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. With just a little practice, this puppy will help you last longer, gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you've accomplished this with the Endurance Jack, you'll have all the skills you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old US of A. So look for the Fleshlight banner right there in the sidebar of DrDickSexAdvice.com. One final thing, I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans, now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, herbal products, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com. And until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.